I want to study a passage in 1 Corinthians 6 tonight that has three key phrases or three key words here. And if you haven't studied these words out, they're, to me, a little bit intimidating. The word washed, not so much, but sanctified and justified have been a little intimidating to me down through the years. But it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. I want to invite you to consider it with me for just a little while. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to go 9 through 11. We're going to read 9 and 10 first. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." The apostle makes not only a very strong statement, but he doubles down on the statement with this line right here. Do not be deceived. Don't fool yourself and don't let anyone else fool you. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I want to tell you, this is hard. Because we probably look at this list and some of us can say, yeah, I'm on that list. Maybe most of us can say that in some way or another. But he makes a very firm statement and he repeats it in the end. These folks who do these things are not now, not ever going to inherit the kingdom of God. Then we go to verse 11 and he makes wonderful statement. "And such were some of you." This is a statement of the past tense. This is what some of you were. Such were some of you. You're not now. Not any longer. He says, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It's a wonderful thing. People who are evil, people who are unrighteous according to his words, people who are not worthy of the kingdom of God can be changed. This is what he says, such were some of you. And the idea that I carry away from it is no longer. But now, see, that's a change. Garland, you got a really nice tie, but that means we're fixing to change this statement that we just made. These people that he's talked about are never going to inherit the kingdom of God, but they've been washed, they've been sanctified, they've been justified. Not only is it in this life, but it's the world to come in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It's a wonderful thought and a wonderful idea. They're not those people anymore. They're not fornicators anymore. They're not unrighteous anymore. It's a changed. They were unwashed, and if I understand it, that basically means they were dead in sin. They were dying. They were on the path to destruction. They were unsanctified or unholy. They were a part of the world, you see. They were living and doing what everyone in the world does, and they were dead in sin. They didn't have a life with God because they were separated from God and they were unholy. And then he says they were unjustified. In other words, they were guilty. He didn't make a baseless accusation about these people. They were guilty. And the truth is there's probably someone here today that's guilty. Unrighteous. Unwashed, unsanctified, and unjustified. And so naturally, we might say, well, what happened? I mean, what was it that happened? Because that's what I need. I need that. You know, sinners, all of us are sinners. And when you live a life of sin, and you get in bed at night, maybe you're driving down the road somewhere sometime, there's some point that comes along and you think, you realize, you go, this is never going to work. I cannot live like this. Because you know it's not right and you know you have a problem, but these people, something changed them and it changed them drastically. And the truth is that they were washed. And if you study this word, and we're going to study it a little bit, they were born again. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. Maybe that's a difficult jump to make. We're going to talk about that a little bit. They were sanctified. They were made holy. They were separated from the world. We're going to talk about that for a little while. And then finally, they are justified. They are made just or made innocent. You can't do that on your own. You can't do that. I'm going to just tell you quite honestly today, you can't come to church and sing enough church songs to be innocent. You're not. You can't go out and do enough good deeds to be sanctified. Can't do it. And you cannot be born again in any way, shape, or form unless you're washed. Now, we got to talk about some things that are just absolutes, and this is it. There's absolutely no way for the unrighteous to enter into the kingdom of God unless these things happen. We have to be washed. We have to be sanctified. We must be justified. So let's think about this idea of washed for just a moment. From the Greek, the word means to wash fully. To wash fully. You ever see a car that somebody started washing and then something come up and they had to leave and they just quit washing it? It's not fully washed. It's still dirty. There's still parts of it dirty. Well, this means to wash fully, and it comes from these two Greek words. You know, if you study the Strong's a little bit, you've got, this is the Greek word, I couldn't even begin to pronounce it, but it comes from these two words, which is kind of an interesting thing. The Greek word of G575 means off. Off. That's what it means. And the next word here that he describes, 3068, means the whole person. The entire person. And the idea is to wash him every bit. Everything. You wash not just the body. You wash the spirit. You wash the soul. You wash every part of the person. That person is to wash fully, completely and totally washed. Book of Revelation, chapter 1, there, verse 5, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. He said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And I want to tell you, if there's one thing that'll take away sins, it's the blood of Jesus. And if you haven't been washed in his blood, then you have your sins. It's just a fact. Until you're washed fully and completely, you have your sins. But Jesus is the faithful witness, and he loves us, and he will wash us from our sins, and he'll do that in his own blood. That's not a huge leap at all when we go to Acts chapter 22, verse 16, and we have Saul, and we have Ananias, and Ananias comes to him, and he asks him a question, "Why tarriest thou?" He says, "What are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins." Now there's going to be some words that you're going to notice we're going to stumble onto over and over here. One of them being washed. Now we've got this emphatically baptism. Finally we have calling on the name of the Lord. You're going to see those things as we go through some of these over and over. He says, "Saul, why are you waiting? Get up and wash. Be baptized." It's the same thing. Wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. And so we have the blood of Jesus that will cleanse us, and this is how you and I can be washed. We have to be baptized to wash those sins away. And let's go on to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Now notice what he says, "in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." What does that mean? It gets rid of your sins. It remits the sins. It pays for them. It takes care of them. He says, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this brings us back to our text. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of God. This is how we're washed. This is what Peter commanded that those people do who had put Jesus to death on the day of Pentecost. You people need to be washed. That's what he's saying. You folks have got to be washed. And the Bible says in Acts 2, at the same occasion, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, I know that can't be right because those 12 men could never have baptized 3,000 souls. I said, well, it's only 250 apiece. I don't know. I never baptized 250 people in one day. Maybe someday I'll get my chance. And if I do, I'll go for the record. I'll go for 251 or two or something, you know. But this is entirely possible. And these people gladly received the word. They heard the teaching of Peter and they said, that's what we want. We want that. We want to be washed. And so they got busy. And it's a great assumption to say that couldn't be done in one day because there were 120 other disciples there and they could have got busy baptizing too. And I suspect that in 3 or 4 or 5 hours, those 3,000 people were baptized into Christ. It just didn't take that long. Not that long. I want to take you from this idea of wash that we find. I want to go to John chapter 3. And it's a very fascinating passage of scripture here. The Bible, and if you follow the book of John, we start out with John the Baptist. He's come in the spirit of Elijah. And John chapter 1 talks about Jesus and him being the Son of God and all things being made by him. And then you get into John, and this John's out there baptizing. And if you read through the first couple of chapters of John, all these people, thousands of people go down to the Jordan River and they're baptized of John. And the reason I'm telling you that, Nicodemus, no doubt, a Pharisee, he's hearing about all these people. He's hearing John talk about Jesus. He's hearing about all these people going down to the river. But he hears about Jesus, and so he's going to come talk to Jesus. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He comes to Jesus at night, and he sneaks in there, and he says, I need to talk to you. I know you're from God because of these miracles that you've been doing. And then Jesus makes a very odd statement. He doesn't say, well, thanks, Nicodemus. Thanks very much. Appreciate that. That's a nice comment. He didn't say that. This is what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's a very similar statement to what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. They that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Very similar thing. So Jesus just totally changes the subject. And then this is what Nicodemus says unto him. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Nicodemus said, I don't understand. How can I be born? How can I go back in my mother's womb? But you know, when a child is born, they indeed come from a womb. And by being washed, being baptized, we are born of water and of the Spirit. And if you go back and think about what Peter said, Acts 2:38, where he told them, repent and be baptized for remission of sins and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It makes sense. What he's describing here is that same washing. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, we'll take it in another angle. He says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, that's what a birth is, isn't it? A birth is a new life. And that's exactly what he describes here, that baptism, we're baptized into his death. And truth is, fornicators and adulterers and extortioners and the unrighteous, that's what we need. We need the sinful man to be put to death. And we need a new child to be born of righteousness. That's what we need. And that's what he describes here. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. It's a parallel straight along with the idea of the new birth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're baptized, if you're washed today, you'll be a brand new child. A child of God, born of the Spirit. He said, but you were sanctified. The word means to make holy. Different than the world, or called out of the world into Christ. It's basically means just to make someone holy. And what he's describing is a process in which people who are sinners and who are unrighteous are made holy. They're made different than everyone else that's in the world. Once again, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now notice what he goes on to say. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that's another word we're going to run into, this idea of calling. The Lord's going to call people. And that's how he describes this new birth, being baptized for the remission of sins. And he says, this promise is to you, to your children, and on and on. Now I want to go to chapter 2, verse 47. And this is from the New King James. He said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, how were they being saved? They were being washed. They were being sanctified. As many, he says, as the Lord our God shall call. Now I want to talk to you about this word right here, church. Do you know that word just means the called out? The called. And if you go all the way back with me to Acts 22, when Ananias comes to Paul or Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And sanctification calls you out of the world into a condition of being saved, out of sinfulness into the condition of the church, out of a life of wickedness and into a life of holiness. That's what it does. World full of people, isn't it? A world full of sin. And then over here we've got a church, those who are called out, and they've been washed. They've been sanctified. They've been justified. These people are not a part of the world. They're part of the Lord. They're new creatures. That's what they are. They've been put to death, the old man, and their sins have been washed away, and they're born again. They're born into the family of Christ. They're brand new. And so when we're called out, we are changed. We're washed. We're taken out of the world and we're called. We're sanctified. We're made holy. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'd like to be saved, but I don't want nothing to do with the church. You can't. It's impossible. It doesn't exist. Salvation is one and the same with being a part of the kingdom of God. Sanctification is impossible in the world. You know, I was talking to a young man years ago. He was about 15 or 16, and his parents asked me to talk to him about his soul. They were worried he hadn't been baptized into Christ. I sat down, I started talking to him. He looked me right in the eye, and he said, I haven't committed a sin. And I'm sitting there going, well, by the time I was 15, certainly couldn't make that statement, but people are better than me. There ain't no doubt about that. I said, your problem is this right here. You won't obey. Whether or not you've sinned, I don't know. That's what he felt like. He wasn't sanctified. I'd really like to impress that on your mind today. It doesn't matter how many good deeds you do. It doesn't matter how much you change your life. Quit drinking and quit smoking dope and quit running around. Start trying to help people and start trying to do good things. Start trying to be a better person. Doesn't matter if you're in the world. You're not sanctified. Is it hard? Yeah, it's just the hard truth. You can try all you want to be better. And you can live better. And you can do different. But until you're washed in the blood, you're in the world. The only way to get sanctified is to be washed. And that's when the Lord's going to call you. And he's going to place you in his kingdom. Notice 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Speaking to the Christians, he said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. When the Lord sanctifies you, my friend, you are holy. Perfectly holy. Perfectly cleansed. You are a royal priest. Our humility won't hardly let us say that. When God sanctifies you, my friend, you are sanctified. It doesn't matter what a dirtbag you was before. It doesn't matter how much sin you committed. It don't matter if you've killed, murdered, raped, and robbed. If the Lord sanctifies you, you are in the royal priesthood. You are a part of that holy generation because he's called you out of the darkness and into the light. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives. Notice what he says. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice what he says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. When you're washed and you're sanctified, you're made by God into this condition. Sanctified, cleansed. And you know what? You're married to Christ. And I want to tell you what, Christ is not going to marry trash. Not going to do it. He's going to sanctify you when you're washed, and he's going to cleanse you. And he's describing the church being his bride. He says, such were some of you. These people have been changed into a royal priesthood. These fornicators, these homosexuals, these sodomites, these covetous, these revilers and extortioners. This is what some of you were, he says. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You got to be sanctified. There's a whole lot of people in the world today that claim to be Christians. And there's a lot of Facebook Christians. And they party and go wild on Friday night, and then Sunday morning they post a scripture on their wall. It doesn't sanctify you. The thing that's going to change you is when you do the will of your Father which is in heaven. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Apostle says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice what he says. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Once we are washed, it's our responsibility to not be conformed to the world, to live a godly life, and to follow his will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, he says, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If you want God to use you and you keep in his kingdom, then you must be sanctified. Justified means just that, made just, or in particular, made innocent. My wife had a show on the other night about O.J. Simpson. And some fella went and been a detective and reviews the case. And he decided O.J. didn't do it. I don't know whether O.J. did it or not. Somebody did it. And if you're too young to know what O.J. Simpson did, then you're pretty young. Somebody did it. But when the trial was over, was he made innocent? Judge set him free. That doesn't necessarily mean innocent, is it? In the book of Romans chapter 5, beginning of verse, he says, verse 8, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There's several things that always are going to tie back to this washing. The way we get the blood is we're washed in it. We're baptized into it. The way we're sanctified is when we're cleansed from our sins when it's blood. The way that we're going to be justified is to be put to death and be robed in the blood. And God commended this love toward us. And the only way we're going to be justified or made innocent is through his blood. Notice what he says about 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. Under the church of God. What is the church? It's the called out. Under the called out of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing a letter to Corinth, he describes these people as this way, sanctified. Called to be saints. They're justified. Are they innocent? Yes. The moment that you come up out of that water, you're innocent. You know, when a little baby's born, they're just innocent as they can be. They're pure. They're brand new. Now, you give them a few years, maybe not so innocent anymore. But at the beginning, they're completely innocent. And these saints that were sanctified at Corinth, Corinth had problems. Those people had a bunch of things mixed up. They had things goofed up. But he said, you're called to be saints. That's what he said. Colossians chapter 2, beginning of verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein in which you also were raised with him through the faith and the working of God, who raised you, raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. When we're baptized into Christ, we're forgiven of all. All. You know, when I grew up, I worried a lot about my soul. I worried about being saved because I really believed that I had to think about every sin I committed and I had to pray and ask forgiveness for every single sin. And I tried to do it. As I got a little older one day, I got to thinking, I don't think I can remember every sin I committed. And I got real worried about that. Because I felt like I got to pray and ask forgiveness for every... And I'm not trying to tell you you shouldn't pray and ask for forgiveness. Don't take it wrong. I'd push myself into a corner where my forgiveness was dependent upon my memory. I'm going to tell you something. When you're baptized into Christ, they're all forgiven. The ones you know about, the ones you can't remember, the ones you've forgotten, the bad black ones, all of them. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, he says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's justification. That's what that is. 2 Corinthians 5, we read just a part of this a while ago. We're going to read a little more. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice what he says in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did to beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I took accounting in high school and I learned a little bit about reconciling the books. And when you get the books reconciled at the bottom, they'll always be zeros. Everything's even. Nobody's ahead and nobody's behind. And he describes this ministry of reconciliation. And then he says, you are ambassadors to Christ. You people who are new creatures have gone through this reconciliation. God has put you in a state of innocence. Zero. You don't owe anything. You're not behind. You're not ahead. And this is what he's given us, the ministry of reconciliation. Then he says, I pray you, be reconciled. We beseech you, be reconciled to God. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, here's the question. Have you been washed? Now, I've seen some good deals. I bought some Michelin tires the other day, and I'm going to tell you, it's a fantastic deal. I was thrilled to buy them. I was $300 cheaper than new. I saw a good deal, and I'll tell you, I bought it. It was good. If you haven't seen this deal right here, if you'll just submit to Christ and be washed, it doesn't matter how terrible you are. It doesn't matter what kind of wickedness you've lived in and terrible things you've done. If you will submit to him and be washed, then you are sanctified. You're taken out of the world and put into his kingdom. And you are justified. You are innocent. Completely innocent. Have you been washed? Have you been sanctified? Have you been justified?